Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you today. Glad that you are here. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, as we search your scriptures together, I pray that you give us wisdom to understand. I pray that you give us faith to believe and to trust. And I pray that you work everything together so that we will actively participate in the story of Jesus and how that still makes an eternal difference in the world today. Father, we confess to you and we need help in this. So I pray that you open us up to what we see, that we will take the example from the Bible and continue to live and to share the story of Jesus. We pray this through his holy name. Amen. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 4. So through the life of Jesus, as we actively pursued him and what he is doing, and now we have seen in the book of Acts, really, the active participation with the resurrected Christ. And what that means for our lives and the lessons we can learn with the disciples learning to trust Jesus in a spiritual way without him there in body, now that he has gone back to heaven. And we really see the difference in the change in pursuing Christ to now actually being filled with the Spirit of Christ that we can participate in what Jesus is doing. And because he has risen from the dead and because we have his Spirit within us, we now become partners in his ministry. Now, partners does not make us equals, all right? But it does give us a responsibility, and we are learning what that looks like, what it means, and what part do I play in this? So today we're going to see in Acts chapter 4 how we can actively participate with Jesus. And Acts chapter 4 is all about the story. You know, we are storytellers. We are voracious in our take in of stories. It's all we do. It's all we do. And I know that sometimes we look at people and say, oh, people are just always on their phones, right? No one talks face to face anymore. They're just always on their phones. They're always just stuck on their phones. They're doing the same thing that we've always done. They're telling their story or they're hearing someone else's story. We're still relating to other people. It's the same thing. It's just a different medium. But we love to do this. We love to hear other people's stories. We take in, whether it's real or whether it's a made-up story, right? It's all of our entertainment. It's all we do. We hear a song on the radio. They're just telling a story. We watch a movie. They're just telling a story. We talk to other people, and we tell them even just how was your day, right? We tell them our story. You know, one of my favorite things about my wife is the fact that she listens to my stories. Friday, we got to spend some time together Friday evening, and I couldn't wait to be with her so I could tell her the story of my day. It was a rough day, but I felt comfort in sharing my story with her, and I know that she loves me because she listened to my story. We connect with people through our story. And church, here's the thing, because we are so good at this naturally, what has to shift for those that are called to participate with the risen Jesus Christ is we have to make his story our story. Because you and I are not the star of our story. Jesus must become the star of our story. And that's what we are called to do. In Acts chapter 4, we've come and we saw Peter and John and we saw last week being able to participate with Jesus and giving to others the gifts that we have been given. And now it's all about the story. So I'm going to read several verses from Acts chapter 4, and I want you to be aware of just how many times they are telling the story of Jesus. Okay? Now keep this in mind. This is the point of what we're going to see. God gives the power. We tell the story. Because so often, even us faithful, we just look up at God and we are asking for him to give us his part. Well, Lord, I want to see more miracles. I want more power. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want to see these tangible things. But what we see in Acts chapter 4 is that is his work. Our work is to tell the story. Now, these things go together. But if we're busy focusing on God's part and not focusing on our part, that means one of us is not doing something right. And if we don't do something right, we probably can't expect him to do as much in our lives. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day because it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "Well, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, well, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. All right, so here we have the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And all they care about is telling the story of Jesus. I mean, this story, this recollection in Acts chapter 4 is just dripping in it. This is what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. You tell the story of Jesus. We cannot help. I mean, what else are we supposed to do but to tell people and show people what Jesus has done? We have to tell you. Of course, it's the most amazing thing that's ever happened. And again, like I said, we're very natural at this, right? I mean, if we find gas 15 cents cheaper at a gas station, we'll let other people know. Gas is only $2.35 over here at Walmart today. You got to get over there. The Son of God has risen from the dead and paid the penalty for our sins. I'll see you Sunday. It's different, isn't it? It's very different. We get excited about so many things. We get excited about so many things that are not the story of Jesus. And yet here we see participating with Jesus means that we're talking about Jesus. Peter was like, I can't help but tell you why I'm living, why I'm here, why I'm in trouble, why it doesn't matter, because I'm with him. This is my purpose. This is my goal. I've been given a new name. I've been given a new life. I have been made a part of his family, but he's the head of everything. I've been made a part of what he's got going on. And so my life becomes less and even none of what I've got going on. And my life now becomes everything to what he has going on. And so look at all the times in which they tell the story. In verse 2, they're arrested for the story. They are arrested for the story of Jesus. Hey, what is all this? Why are you guys talking about Jesus? You got to stop this. Shut this down. Quit talking about Jesus. So they arrest him. It's late at night, so they get to spend the night in jail. And they bring him out the next day and say, "All right, well, we need to know." Okay? Cuz there's the guy. Remember in the last chapter, his legs didn't work. Now his legs work. He's standing right there. I mean, he is the character witness. And they're all just going, something amazing has happened here, but we still have to stop this. You know, most of the time when we see amazing things, we want it to be shared, right? But think about the systems of the world. I mean, Jesus topples the world-made systems because his way is so much better. But when people want to uphold what they've got going on, that's a conflict. Right? It's the same thing with us. Think about when you became a Christian. Think about when you became a Christian before you got to that point of decided, wow, I need a Savior. Think about the times before that where you fought against that. And you said, I don't want a Savior. I don't want someone else to run my life. I want to live my life. Right? It's the same thing. It's just a bigger picture. And so everybody's together and they say, look, how did this happen? And they said, well, let us tell you the story. So they tell them the story. So we see in verse 2, they're arrested for the story. In verse 8, they ask, well, what power did you do this? And so Peter in verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, hey, you're the rulers. If we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, well, let it be known. I'm about to tell you. You asked the question. Here it is. He says in verse 10, by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone. You had your chance. He came to you and you said, no, thank you. Well, guess what? God had other plans. You put him to death. God raised him. You thought he was a stumbling block and God made him the cornerstone of what he is now building. What side of the story do you want to be on? You want to be in opposition? Or do you want to get on board? But it's an interesting thing here that we see is that the opposition to Jesus focuses on the what. What were these rulers concerned about? They were concerned about the miracle, weren't they? What's Peter's concern? What's his focus? What's his focus all throughout this chapter that we just read? The story! The story! How many opportunities have you and I missed to tell someone about Jesus because we were so busy praying to God just to show us a sign, to give us a miracle? Show yourself to us, Lord, so that we can believe. Guess what? You and I already believe. We already put our faith in Him. That's not who the signs and miracles are for. Our hearts have been convicted. We believe the story. We know the story. Our job is to tell the story. That's our focus. The opposition wants a sign. In fact, Jesus would go so far. What did He say about people who demanded a sign and wanted a miracle? He said they were evil. Because what happened when they got the sign? Didn't make a difference, did it? Nope. I mean, He raised Lazarus from the dead. What did the authorities do after that? We got to kill Lazarus all over again. Right? Exactly. So quit worrying every day of, Lord, I'm just praying for You to just come down and give that miracle so that everybody will believe. You know what everybody believes? When convicted hearts believe. And we share the story. That's when the world believes. That's when the world believes. It's opposition that's looking for a miracle. You and I just have to tell the story. So the disciples focus on the story. And the good news is, church, that's really the only part that you can control. That's the only part that you have any say in. Will you tell the story of Jesus or not? And every single day we have an opportunity. Will we tell the story or not? If you got a pen on you, I'm going to make a recommendation for you. I think I mentioned this Wednesday night. But last week I had to drive down to Waco for some meetings. And I found a podcast, and it's over 2 hours long, and I listened to it. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll recommend this. This is the Sean Ryan Show. He interviewed Tim Tebow. Remember Tim Tebow? Tim Tebow is the Christian quarterback, University of Florida. Won the Heisman. It was 2 hours of a man convicted by God telling the story of Jesus. Now, they talked about what some of his success in life, his marriage, the ministries that he's serving, and the people that he is trying to help. He's really right now. He is really focusing on giving a. He does this all around the world. He gives a prom night to special needs kids and makes them a star for this one night. And they do this all around the world. And he's talking about how in some parts of the world, when a family has a child that is handicapped or has special needs or is different, that those families hide that child because of shame. And they celebrate them on that night. And so he talks about that part of his ministry. The other part of his ministry is he is getting into and really focusing on all of the trafficking that is being done by children around the world. And if your head's not been buried in the sand for the past 5 years, you are aware of how awful, nasty, horrible this is. Right? And that's what he's focused on. But all throughout this, he starts the whole interview, and it's just all throughout. It is not about him. It's about the story of Jesus. It was very convicting. And if you want to know, how do I do this? How do I tell people about the story of Jesus when I want to tell them about my story of what I've got going on? Go listen to that podcast. Okay, I'm recommending it. It is amazing. It is amazing because it is a person who is all about the story of Jesus. I mean, it just comes through loud and clear. And church, that's who we're supposed to be. Mr. Tebow's doing it right. That's why I'm recommending you listen to it. Because he knows what it's all about. He knows his job is to tell the story and let God provide the power and accomplish the miraculous. That's supposed to be us. We're supposed to be telling the story of Jesus and allowing Jesus to do the miraculous. Allow Jesus to provide the power. Allow Jesus to change the world, to change lives, and to make a difference. Our job is to tell the story. So that's what Peter does. Peter tells the story. And in fact, they try to tell him, because I love that in verse, 17? All right, guys, quit telling the story. No. If the story is not real, if the story has no power, why would they bother, right? Why would the opposition to God tell them, don't tell this story? And Peter's response is, we got to tell the story. We have to tell the story. If you're going to get upset about it, hey, that's on you. but we have to tell other people what we have seen and what we have heard. Church, you and I must still be convicted with that heart. I have to tell other people what I have seen. I have to share. This is the author of life who has saved me from death, who has saved me from my own sin, who has made me a partner with the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has made me a part of his team. I have to tell other people. I have to. I'm so filled with the story of Jesus that it is just pouring out, and I got to tell. If someone doesn't like it, well, that's on them. That's on them. Church, if we are not tellers of the story of Jesus, what do you think Jesus is going to say when he comes back for us? What do you think he's going to say? If we're not doing our part telling the world about his story, when he comes back and you and I go, oh good, Jesus is finally back to save us from all the discomfort of all the people we were scared to tell the story to. He's going to look at us and say, I guess we didn't know each other that well, did we? Because all my friends are telling my story. All the people that I've actually saved from their sin, they are so grateful they're actually telling other people about it. I don't know, crazy idea. But you were hiding. You were quiet. You were ashamed. You were embarrassed. So, I don't know, I really got nothing for you on this final judgment day. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about how real that is? Jesus saved me from my sins. I'm going to hide over here until he comes back so no one knows that I'm his. But when he comes back, I'll go, I'm here. It's me. I'm your guy. What do you think Jesus is going to say to you if that's how you live your life? Jesus, I have been quietly, faithfully preserving my silence my entire life and my walk with you. So glad you're back. Now it's safe to tell your story. Now it's safe to live out loud. You think Jesus is going to get excited about you? You think he's just, oh good, it's you. Well preserved. I mean, we'll just break the seal on your Christian life because you haven't been using it. It's been all sealed up. So, well done. Good and faithful servant. Come on in. Church, we got to tell the story. We are called to participate with the risen Lord and Savior of the world. And our part is to tell the story. We have got to adopt the same heart that Peter has. He says, look, hey, I got to tell people what I've seen. I got to tell people what I've heard. It changed my life, and it's the only name that can change their life. I got to tell them. That's the intensity and the excitement of how you and I are supposed to live our faith. Because every one of us sit here and comfortably say, of course, my faith is only in Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. I communed with him. I sat at his table. But the end of that part is exactly what Peter says in this chapter. We have to tell the story because it is the only name given by which people must be saved. Right? It's like you and I just want to live our faith in such a way that we go to the theater and go, fire. Or your kid's running out in front of a car and you go, oh, don't do that. Or they're reaching out for the hot stove and you're like, oh, that might hurt. We don't live like that. No, everything is important. What do? We raise our volume. We get a little loud. There's a sense of urgency. That's what it means to actively participate with Jesus, to tell his story. A little urgency, a little volume, a conviction in our hearts that it must be done by us. Because if it's not done by those who have seen and heard, who have been changed by the story of Jesus, who else is going to tell the story? If not us, then who? Matt read for us in 1 John chapter 1. I want to go over there. We're going to come back to Acts 4, but I want to go to 1 John chapter 1. John's writing to the church, and he is carrying this sentiment. We have to tell you what we have seen and heard in Jesus. And he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. We have heard him, we have seen him, we have touched him, we have experienced Jesus. We have got to tell you why. And here's the thing. We've been talking about this new verb of ours, our active participation. In 1 John chapter 1, John uses it actually four times, three verses. Three verses he is calling people into this koinonia fellowship, this intense personal fellowship with other people because we share a common belief. And so he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship with us. We have to tell you about Jesus because we're enjoying fellowship with Jesus, and it's the only way that you can enjoy fellowship with Jesus. Do we care enough about the lost that we want them to have fellowship with Jesus? Paul says, I do, so I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you about it. This is what I enjoy in my life, so I'm gonna tell you how you can enjoy it in your life. And so he says it the first time there in verse 3. And then he says, down in verse 6, look, if we say, little warning here, if we say that we fellowship with Jesus, we better be living like it, right? If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the dark, what does he say we are? We're liars. We're liars. And church, the difficult part of that is that some of us may live our whole lives lying to ourselves. But when we're standing in front of Jesus, it's all going to be exposed. It's all going to be laid out there. We're not going to get one over on God. You and I are not going to be with him forever on a technicality. I mean, a lot of people think that. A lot of people do. In fact, most of the people that Jesus talked to, all the religious people, well, yeah, God's going to let me in because I did this, and this. And Jesus says, yeah, but you only need one thing. Yeah, what's that? You need the Son. Because the Son died for your sins. Nah, I don't want that. I want all the religious stuff. There's going to be a lot of religious people when Jesus comes back. He told us. He warned us. How many times in the stories? I don't know you. New number. Who dis? A lot of people are going to be going, hey, yay, Jesus is here. It's time. And he's like, I don't remember the name. Face is kind of familiar, but who am I talking to? So John says, look, if we say we have fellowship with him, we can't walk in the dark. We can't do it. We have to walk in the light. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as who's in the light? He's in the light. Jesus is in the light, and so we walk in the light, and in doing so, we now are connected with him. We have koinonia fellowship. We participate in his death for our sins. And so that, you know what? A couple of awesome things. If we sin, he forgives us. Right? And if we say, Lord, I have let you down, he says, I know, and it's okay. I love you, and I got you. That's paid for. We're good. Oh, okay, good. I can keep walking in the light. But if you and I live every day with like, nah, I got no sins. I'm all good. Everything I do is perfect. Everything I do is just light covered. I'm all good. And it's like, do I really need to mention how you were yesterday? Do I really need to mention how you treated that person? Do I really need to mention what you thought about that situation? Do I really need to mention what you were looking at when you thought no one else was looking? Do I really need to mention all the opportunities you passed up and didn't tell my story? Seems like we're not actually that close. Right? Lord, I apologize. I'm not faithful enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not telling your story enough. And now that I've said it out loud, I understand. I get it. I want to be where you are. But I understand because I have the story of Jesus. I've actively pursued him. And I have seen that my love for Jesus better be powerful enough that when the world makes it difficult for me to be close to him, that I choose him. And I don't just go along with the world. Because the enemy is trying everything to get you to say, don't be that close. I mean, it's nice that you want to be a Christian and all, but let's not go crazy. Because, you know, that's just annoying. People don't like that person. Oh, here we go again. Let me guess, you're going to tell me about Jesus. Church, you and I need to be so dripping that everywhere we go, we are that annoying person. That the people around us go, oh, here comes Jesus, boy. He's going to tell us about Jesus. I wish I had that annoying of a reputation. Right? That's what we're supposed to have. We are supposed to be known for telling the story of Jesus. And everything that we experience and everything we go through, guess what? It's an opportunity. Hey, look at the grace of Jesus. Look what he's doing in my life. Look what he's doing, not what I'm doing, right? So if we shift our focus a little bit with, hey, here's the accomplishments of me and my kids and my grandkids and here's what I got going on and, hey, here's all the awesome pictures that we took and we got to do this and we got to do that. Oh, we are storytellers. But Jesus is not at the center of our story. We're telling our story, right? And those that have been captivated by Christ must tell his story. So let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 23. I love the idea that they threatened them, don't you talk about Jesus anymore. And they let them go because what else are they going to do? Okay? So they're freed. They get back with the rest of the church. And because of their boldness, did you catch the number in there? How many were added? Did you catch the number? Yeah, 5,000. You remember Pentecost? 3,000. When you share the name of Jesus, big things happen. Big things happen. We get so concerned that, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or you know, it's, you know, not them. They're not going to believe. What? Do you believe? Anybody in here believe in Jesus? Anybody in here believe that Jesus died for your sins and he is your Savior? That he is the only Savior for the sins of the world? Okay, now I'm going to ask you a personal question. What, are you an idiot? Are you insane? Do you have a defect? Nobody raised their hands on that one. Okay, so you're just normal people who actually believe in the story of Jesus, right? And it made all the difference for all eternity for you. How dare we not give other people, those lost people, the same opportunity? Who do we think we are? Well, I'm a good person anyway, or I was raised in the church, or I had special people in my life that loved me enough and shared with me Jesus. These people aren't going to respond positively to the name of Jesus. Or worse, I just don't know if I want to hang out with those people for all eternity. Church, we are not the star of the story. Jesus is the star of the story. It's his story that we're sharing. And if his story is good enough and powerful enough to affect your life, then it's good enough and powerful to affect the lives of others. So Peter and John are released. Look what happens. Verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. I love that, okay? They didn't share, they reported. They reported. Someone else is doing something? That's just a report. That's just a report. That's all it is, all right? Someone stands in your way? Yeah. That's just a report. That is not the same thing as sharing the good news. They just report that. Let's see, verse 24. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in what? Vain. Guess what? The people that get in the way of the story of Jesus, what's going to happen to them? They're either going to be saved or they're going to get rolled over. That is how Peter could have such confidence in sharing the good news of Jesus. Look, this is the name you need to be saved from your sins. And if you fight against that name, you're going to lose. I'm trying to give you a heads up, right? I am trying to tell you what is in your path. It can be fantastic or it can be your destruction. Verse 26, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to what? Speak your word with all boldness while, what's the next word? You stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, that's us. Did you catch that? Lord, they're trying to get in the way, but we know you win. Embolden us to speak the story of Jesus. You do all the powers. You bring the miracles. All right? If I witness it and I see it and it comes from you, I'm not going to get in the way. I'm going to let it happen. You bring the power. You do whatever your mighty hand chooses to do. You change lives. You fix the broken. You bring salvation. You save people from sin and death. I'm going to speak and tell your story. Nothing's changed, church. Active participation with the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The disciples tell the story. God brings the power. Pretty simple, right? But it's so simple we forgot it. It's so simple that we just stopped doing it. Well, you know, the internet, everybody knows Jesus. Really? Have you been outside lately? I meet people every day who don't know Jesus. Do I love them enough to say, hey, look, I got to tell you something? Or has my heart become so cold that I'm like, whew, can't wait till they get theirs? I mean, how do you view the lost and broken world? Do you have the love of Christ in your heart to where you see them and you actually say, hey, I care about what happens to you? Or has your heart become so cold and callous that you're like, man, I can't wait till God just brings the thunder and gives everybody what they deserve? When you ask God to give everybody what they deserve, you don't think you deserve that too? We can't. God, I can't wait till you bring mercy to everyone that needs mercy, because I need mercy. They need mercy. We need mercy. And how are they going to know if we don't tell them about mercy, right? Church, our job is to tell the story of Jesus, because that's what brings salvation. That's how we participate in the blood of Christ. And church, we get to do this with each other. I mean, they came back to the believers, and what did they do? They talked about what Jesus was doing. So church, when we talk to each other, let's do a little bit better job, because you and I are so, hey, it's so good to see you this morning. How was your week? Right? We become less than. We relegate our interactions to, hey, what are you up to? Or how was your week? Or how are you doing? Think about how you speak to another believer, because speaking to another believer should be our safe practice. Hey, what has Jesus done in your life this week? Won't that, if someone said that to you this morning, you walked in and say, hey, what has Jesus done in your life this week? It would make you pause, right? Huh, what has Jesus? Wow, Jesus has done a lot this week. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you what Jesus has done this week. We don't even talk to each other this way. So I know we're not talking to them this way, because I'm guilty too. We don't even talk to believers in believer language. I know we're not talking to the lost in believer language. We sing believer language. We pray believer language. We commune believer language. And then amen, and we become common. Common. It's just like, it's gone. It's gone. Shame on us. Us, not you, us. Shame on us. We're not doing our job. We're not doing our job. God has called us to actively participate. And this is what it looks like to participate. We tell his story. Let's close it out in Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul is going to chime in. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's start in verse 8. Romans chapter 10, 8. Okay, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. All right, here's your challenge today. Instead of joining the camp of, what's God going to do with the starving pygmies in New Guinea who've never heard of Jesus? It just breaks down his whole plan of salvation. This week, maybe you and I should be looking at the spiritually starving people in our neighborhood and at our work and at our school, in our families, and say, I can't help but tell you what Jesus has done. Tell the story of the cross and tell your story. How Jesus' story changed your life. And tell them the story of Jesus. There's only one way to get out of this alive, and you have it. We got to share it. We got to share it. And church, as we go through the book of Acts and we see all the wild, amazing, miraculous, powerful stuff, we've spent enough time just sitting on our hands going, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? God will do what God is going to do. And God will do what is necessary for God to do. Problem is, you and I stop doing what we're supposed to do. We are so worried about God doing his part that we stop doing our part. And out of those two, you and I are only responsible and only have any control over whose part. I'm going to let God do what God's going to do. But I better be doing what I'm called to do. Active participation in sharing the gospel. It mattered enough for my soul. It should matter enough for the souls around me. That's what we saw with Peter and John. That's what we saw with everyone who saw, who witnessed, who were blown away by the sacrifice of Jesus and the victory of the resurrection from the dead. What? Are you kidding me? What else am I going to talk about? The weather? See how easy it is to just be common? to just be like everybody else, to relate to each other out of small things? It is. I know it's easy because we all fall into it. We all fall for it. But church, you have the life-saving gospel message of Jesus. It's time we participate in sharing the story. Right? Fair? Yeah. And we're going to trip over ourselves. It's going to be awkward with some people. But it has to be done. We've spent too many years just deciding, nah, they're not going to listen. Nah, they won't change their heart. Nah, they're going to make fun of me. Nah, that's not going to be very popular. Right? We don't judge the hearts. What are we told to do? Throw the seed? Pretty sure Jesus told that story. Your job is to throw the seed. You don't control the weeds, the soil, all that. You throw seed. Tell people about Jesus, right? Why is the world so bad? Why is the church so quiet? Don't worry about the things we can't control. Let's do the things we're in charge of. Because all of us have a story to tell. Because Jesus has saved us from our sins. And if you're not a part of his story and your sins are not forgiven, we invite you to respond to the story. Everything's done for your salvation. We invite you to put your faith in it, to believe it, to join us. And now that we're all on the same page, it's time for you and I to live it and to tell it. Right? There's no more fear. What are they going to do? You quit telling that story. Okay. God says to tell his story. You tell me not to tell the story. Okay. Come on. If I told you to do something, you'd look at me and go, okay, Michael. That's all right. But God's telling us to do something. Let's do it. All right.